You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning, 11 a.m. service. Today we are in the fourth week of our series, Great Faith, and this is such a wonderful series for us looking at the lives of men and women who have displayed great faith in the scriptures. And today we are looking at the life of Abraham and Sarah, but I'm going to focus on Sarah just to look at another perspective of how the faith of this woman affected the history of humanity and as Christians particularly. Kindly just open your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 12. Verse 8, it says here, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Verse 11, "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised." Verse 12, "Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants of many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." Have you ever experienced this? If you have been joining us for a couple of years now, someone talked to you, someone encouraged you, and told you that you are going to be a great leader. Have you ever experienced that? You're new in the church and you haven't known much about Christianity, and someone is telling you, you're going to be a leader. For the students right here, if you are someone who has been used to just following orders or are listening to other people giving orders or instructions, to you, it doesn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense. Looking at your personal life, it wouldn't make sense. That is exactly what happened to Abraham and Sarah. They were living their life and then suddenly, God spoke a promise, a great promise to them, and that promise doesn't make sense in their life. It's just too grand, and looking at their particular situation, it doesn't really make sense. How can this be? It doesn't coincide with what we have. My question is, what would you do when you receive a promise so great but contradicts your present reality? Abraham and Sarah here receive a very great promise from God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says here, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing.'" God was talking about blessing them. God was talking about making them a great nation. But being a great nation entails that Abraham and Sarah would have descendants after them. It's talking about them having multiple of children, generations upon generation. But the sad thing is that, yes, God was talking about a great nation, but to them, it doesn't make sense. Why? Because chapter 11, verse 30 would tell us that Sarah was barren. They don't have any children. And when God started speaking to them about the promise, they were already of good age. They were already senior citizens. Abraham was about 75 years old and Sarah's mid-60s. So the promise wasn't just making sense. On top of that, the reality was that they were old. It could have been better if they didn't have children yet, but they were still in their 40s or late 50s. Could have been much more possible, but they were old. What happens when the promise is in conflict with reality? What do we do when the promise, yes, it's so great, but it entails a great problem as well? And the greatest problem that you will face is the problem of facts. It just doesn't add up. What do we do when the promise is in conflict with the facts? And aside from the facts, Abraham and Sarah are in their old age. Aside from the facts that they're facing, they're also racing against time. Because the older they get, the more impossible it would be for the promise to be fulfilled. As the day passes by, the promise becomes more and more impossible. Facing the facts at the same time, the time is ticking. And the time is not on their favor. Great faith means to have the faith that would move past beyond the impossibilities. And we're going to look at the faith of Sarah. Now, we are very familiar of the faith of Abraham. Now, let's look at Sarah to have a different perspective of things. Now, when God spoke to Abraham about the promise, Sarah was already there. Meaning to say, from the very beginning, Sarah was a participant of the promise. And there are important lessons that we can learn from the life of Sarah that we can apply in our life as we receive the great promises of God in our life. Sarah, God is talking about Sarah. Hebrews 11 verse 11 says here, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive. It says Sarah by faith. Now, what do we know about Sarah? Aside from she's beautiful, aside from she's old, what do we know of her? Genesis chapter 11 down to chapter 23, we would see there an outline of how Sarah lived her life together with her husband. And if you look at the life of Sarah, you would know that somehow, basing on the scripture, Sarah was a timid woman. Looking at those chapters, I've only seen two times wherein Sarah spoke, when she doubted God and when she had received the promise from God. If you look at the life of Sarah, we would see there that Sarah's life, looking at faith, it wouldn't make sense as well that the Bible or the writer of Hebrews said, by faith, Sarah received. Because if you look at the life of Sarah, Sarah was marked with unbelief. When the promise was given, she was kind of laughing about it. How can it be that I'm already old? The way of woman has passed. It's impossible. Now, we would see that in the life of Sarah, she was battling between dealing with the promise through the flesh or with faith. When I say flesh, it talks about my own strength, my own capability. Sarah was dealing with all of those things for more than 20 years, 25 years. Sarah was facing every day the constant battle wherein, do I have to do this on my own or do I have to wait on God? Because the time is ticking, trying to accomplish things on her own, on the flesh. Now, Lord, it's already 10 years, Lord. Maybe I can do something about it. Could I do this, Lord? She was facing that one. And I have to tell you, the trying to accomplish in the flesh, the work of the Spirit will not do us any good. Also, to fulfill the divine promise through the flesh will not be possible. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 18, we see there one of the things that Sarah did in the flesh for her to fulfill the promise of God in her life. In these verses here, we would see that Sarah gave her servant Hagar to Abraham. Lord, it's been several years already and nothing happened. We could use a surrogate. We could use another woman to carry my child, the child of the promise. So she gave Hagar to Abraham, and Abraham, in his faithfulness, he said, yes, my dear. Why not? Not a problem, right? Genesis chapter 18, verse 11 to 12 says here, now Abraham and Sarah were old and advanced in years. The way of the woman had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? This is a mark of unbelief by Sarah. So we would see there that a lot of times when we receive a promise too great, we respond in the flesh rather than in the faith. I personally could identify with Sarah. That a lot of times when I receive a promise from God, Lord, this is so good, but this is out of my hand. A lot of times I take matters into my own hand. In our prayer request, we've just finished our prayer and fasting, and we've listed down some great prayer requests, some great things that we are believing for from God for our personal lives. But who among you would agree that in the middle of the year when nothing seems going on in that prayer, we begin to waver. We begin to downgrade our prayer request. Lord, maragdili ni siya possible, Lord. Diri na lang tagamay. We tend to settle on the menial things. Let's say, for example, you're believing for an iPhone X Max. You're believing for that one and it's already in the middle of the year and when you look at your bank account, Lord, it's impossible. I might have to settle for Nokia 3310. So we tend to downgrade our prayer requests. We want to move in the flesh rather than in the faith. Sometimes we also look for a more suitable option. We give God options other than what He has given us. This is how God designed it. But Lord, nothing is happening. Nothing is going on. Can we deter a bit? Can we look at this possible option? It's not on the question of whether God can do it, but it's question of us. Can we wait for the promise? We give God options, not because God is not capable, but because it's inconvenient for us to wait. Just because it's inconvenient, we want to see things on our own. The flesh can never accomplish what can only be accomplished by faith. The flesh, our strength, our own capabilities, our gifts, our talents. What happens when we try to accomplish something in the flesh? What happens when we try to accomplish the promise that was given to us through the flesh? In Genesis chapter 16, verse 4 to 5, we would see here, and he went in Hagar, this is Abraham, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Verse 5, Sarai said to Abraham, "May the wrong done to me on you, I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." When we do something with the promise of God, when we do it in the flesh, there are some things that will happen. There are consequences that we have to face. So Hagar, in this case, looked at Sarah with contempt. He was disgusted with her mistress. And Sarah was hurt. Sarah became bitter. She mistreated Hagar. She hurt Hagar. Meaning to say, we see here the consequences of what Sarah did, a decision that he had made. When we move in the flesh, we mess things up. And not just that, we mess things up, not just for ourselves, we also mess things up for other people and the generation after us. Still, they will face a consequence of what we did. Ishmael, for example. Ishmael was one of Sarah's regrets. Ishmael became a thorn in her eyes, in her heart. Every time she looks at Ishmael, she remembers the thing that happened. There are a lot of times that we would wish that we could start over again. How I wish I didn't do this. How I wish I had been more wise in making decisions back then. But we cannot go back. We cannot replay everything. We just have to face and deal with the consequences. Sarah was facing regrets, and it tormented her. It gave her a lot of heartaches, a lot of pain in those long years of waiting for the promise. She was looking at the facts, and she took matters into her own hands, leaning over to her own strengths, and look what happened. She didn't have to go through this, but because of what she did, she had to face the consequence. I like what Corrie ten Boom said. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. She didn't have to go through that if she just fixed her eyes on the Lord, right? Looking at Sarah, she's a messed up woman. But how come that the writer of Hebrews would say of her faith, that her faith allowed her to receive the promise, to receive the power? Now, Hebrews 11, verse 11 says here, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Maybe this is the answer why Hebrews called Sarah faithful. Because he considered him faithful who had the promise. Now, think about it carefully. From the beginning of the promise, Sarah was there. The promise talks a lot about Abraham, but Sarah was there. She was listening. She was hearing Abraham's conversation together with God. And if we look at the life of Sarah, she never wavered in following her husband. Even when her husband did a lot of foolish stuff, right? Who among you would agree with me that giving your wife to another man is foolish? And I think that's the worst thing a husband could do to her wife, to give her to another man. And Abraham didn't just do it once. He did it twice to her wife. And Sarah displayed submissive obedience to her husband. Sarah journeyed with Abraham as Abraham journeyed with God. Her life was characterized by faithful obedience to her husband. When her husband said to tell the king that I am your sister, she did it. She obeyed her husband. That was Sarah's life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Even if Abraham was not perfect, still Sarah obeyed his husband. Right? Sarah's faith was a crazy kind of faith characterized by faithful submission and obedience. Abraham may not be perfect, but Abraham was walking with God. And Sarah was right there with Abraham. And she saw how God was faithful. She saw how God delivered them from all of the troubles that their disobedience have caused them. She saw and heard and experienced the faithfulness of God in those situations. Sarah has heard and experienced what God has been doing in the life of her husband and in their life as a whole. So maybe when she considered this God that promised them, she may have considered the faithfulness of God. Because he didn't just overheard it or he didn't just saw it. She experienced it herself. God needed to forge Sarah's faith through her journey with Abraham in order for her to take hold of the great promise. That season of time of waiting was for God to forge Sarah's character and faith. What happens when we give children or babies the things that they need immediately? They become spoiled. So, pag maadto sa mga lolo and lola, and then when they come back to us, they hardly listen to us because their character isn't forged yet to not become entitled. When we give things to them immediately, they become entitled thinking that the world serves them. In the same breath, Sarah's faith needed to be forged. Somewhere in the middle of the promise was a process that ensures that Sarah will have the right heart when the promise will be fulfilled. That's why she took Sarah on a journey together with Abraham, walking with him for several years. Now, I want to tell you that delay is not denial. It simply is a testing of our faith, of our patience. Delay is also a time for God to forge, to develop the right character in us, so that when we receive the promise, the joy will be complete. Our fulfillment will be complete. God was just sorting out things in the life of Sarah. The greatest blessing that we can have in our life are the people who help us forge our faith through their life and walk with God. Good thing Sarah had Abraham, a not so perfect man, but a man who constantly walks with God. That whenever he falls, he goes right back up and starts where God would find him. He keeps on walking again with God. Sarah had a husband like that. And you might say that I don't have a spouse like Abraham. My spouse is not a believing man or woman. My family is not yet believers. We might say that we don't have this kind of people. But let me tell you this one. We are blessed today because we are surrounded with people in the faith. We don't have to have a spouse or a family that believes. We need to have a person in our life who just believes and walks the faith. What I'm saying is that we have leaders. We are blessed to have leaders. We are blessed to have friends who can journey with us and help us through their life build our faith. Yes, it's good to have a spouse that is a believer, but to develop our faith, we don't need a spouse that is a believer. We pray that they will believe, but in that process, we need to have people in the faith who can help us. And there's no better way for us to find people rather than in a community like this. Genesis chapter 21, verse 2, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God has spoken to him. Sarah received the fulfillment of the promise because she considered him who promised faithful. Verse 11 says there, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, the power in the original Greek or Hebrew that was used here is the dunamis power. It's the same power that we use to refer to dynamite, an explosive power. Now, what I'm trying to say here is that through faith, we have access to this power. If you think your life doesn't have hope, think again. Because there's power that is made available for us. And we can take hold of this promise. This power will remain dormant if we don't act on it. And only faith would be able to set this power up. That's power that has been made available for us. Faith gives us the power to achieve what is impossible. A lot of things in our life is impossible. But we have the power. We can have the power that is through faith. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds the future. We don't have to see the future clearly. We just need to see the God that holds the future. Corrie ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to unknown God. My question is, do you know your God? Do you know the God that you worship? God is moved by faith, not just by need. Because if God is just moved by need, there are a lot of people that are way in need rather than us. There are a lot of people right there that are in so much need. But God is not moved by need. He is moved by faith. Hebrews 11, since she considered him faithful who had promised, she was looking at the one who promised her. And looking back at her life, she saw through the years that she has been walking with her husband, she saw how faithful this God is. She saw how this God can deliver them out of the mess that they have been through. Hebrews 10, 23, it says there, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now let me end with this verse. The God that we worship, the God that we promise, is the same God that gave a promise to Abraham and Sarah. And it is the same God who will fulfill his promises over our lives. It's not by our strength, by our own faithfulness, that we are able to receive the promise. It will be based on the faithfulness of God. Don't allow the facts to cancel your faith. We certainly don't want to dismiss the facts that are present, but we don't want to anchor our faith in these facts. Don't allow the facts to cripple your faith even. Don't allow the facts for you to shrink back on the promises of God. Instead, have a crazy faith like Sarah. A crazy faith that would believe his imperfect husband. A crazy faith that would say, the promise that is in me is greater than the facts you can throw at me. The facts are a reality. But the truth is, an even greater reality is the God who gave the promise. The God who himself declared that he is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of all things. Corrie ten Boom again. Faith sees invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. The highlight of this story is neither the great faith of Abraham nor of Sarah, but the great faithfulness of God. It's the great faithfulness of God. The situation of Abraham and Sarah, it's really impossible and it could somehow be overwhelming. But what is truly impossible in this situation is that God can never lie. It is impossible for God to turn back against his word. Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Yes, my situation is impossible. But God said that I'll be able to have this. God's word spoke everything into being. And why can't he do this to me? I know a lot of us here are believing for something in our life. A great thing. And maybe some of you here have been holding on to a prayer request. A promise that you have received from God, and it's already been 15 years. Probably a salvation of your household or your parents or your sibling, and it's been so many years that you've been holding on to that promise, and there are times that you forget that it is in your wallet. You've been keeping that prayer request for years and years. Let me tell you this, just this, in the same way that God reminded Sarah in her old age, a year before she's about to give birth to a son, God reminded Sarah that in this day, I'm gonna give you a son. Maybe for the longest time, Sarah had already lost her hope. Almost 100 years, and it already seems impossible. But God reminded them that my word still stands. My covenant with you still stands. Even if you have broken a faith with the covenant, I am still here. I will still be faithful. I will still fulfill what I have promised you. And so, Sarah and Abraham in their faith, their faith was boosted up when God reminded them of that. And they joined the couple's getaway. At 99 years old, Abraham joined the couple's getaway. Abraham and Sarah had their last honeymoon. They had their last honeymoon, and a year after that, they saw the fulfillment of God's promise. They did not waver in their faith. We can see that because when God reminded them of the promise, they moved into action. Their faith propelled them to move forward. They didn't just wait, now, Lord, my body is as good as dead, so I'll just wait here. No, they did not. They had to take action. They had to come back to each other face to face, had an intimacy as a couple. And they saw the fulfillment of the promise. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. God cannot turn back against his word. Whenever he says something, he fulfills it. What are the promises of God that he has given you all these years that you are still holding on to? Maybe some of you here need to get reminded of that promise. Maybe God is telling you right now, you go back to that promise that I have given you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, because the fulfillment of the promise might be coming. Next year or this year, who knows, that promise might be fulfilled. Pastor Archie Lim said, God keeps his covenant because God does not betray his faithfulness. Even when we become unfaithful, God will remain faithful.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.